BDNG podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I am the Education Development Lead for the BDNG. I hope you enjoy listening to the BDNG podcast and find them beneficial to your practice. These podcasts are sponsored by Amaril. Amaril has no influence over the content of these podcasts. Happy listening. Hello everyone and welcome to another BDNG podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I'm the Education Development Lead for the BDNG and I also work clinically as a nurse consultant. So today I have great pleasure in introducing Eva Shaw, who is an advanced nurse practitioner in gynaecology in Manchester. So welcome today, Eva. Really good to have you on this podcast.
Hi, hello. Thank you for having me.
An absolute pleasure. So today we're going to be talking all things vulval. We've had a lot of interest with the BDNG lately on vulval care, and we know, you know, it does encompass a few different specialities, but the fact is none of us have really linked before, though we now have an absolutely fantastic vulval specialist interest group. So we're doing a lot more with the BDNG and also with our specialists as well. So that's really positive. But Eva, obviously you come from a background in gynaecology. So can you just sort of explain a little bit about your role and how you got interested in gynaecology?
Yeah, so it really goes way back to 2001, when my very first placement as a student nurse on a gynaecology ward. And it just started from there. I just knew from that first placement I was going to work in women's health. Gynecology was the place for me. So that really sparked my interest. And then I retrained a couple of years after qualifying as a nurse. I retrained as a midwife. And that really sort of satisfied my need to be in women's health. And I really, really loved being a midwife. And then about 2020, I decided I wanted to further all my clinical skills and I wanted to be an advanced clinical practitioner. And I couldn't really do that within midwifery. So I decided to go back to nursing, found myself in general practice with a heavy focus on women's health. And then this growing sort of interest in dermatology. And I ended up doing my master's dissertation in dermatology, skin assessment with a focus on skin cancer. But really where I found my niche in general practice was the merger of women's health and dermatology conditions. It just occurred to me that neither I nor anyone else I was working with really knew very much around vulval care, vulval health, and the conditions that can affect women in this area. So then I really thought about, where do I want to be? What's my long-term goal? It had always been gynae, women's health. And I was so lucky about a few years ago now to get a job in gynaecology as an ACP in my current trust. And there is a specialist vulval clinic there. When I found this out, I was over the moon, really, and I got in touch with the consultant who runs that service. She's amazing. Went and sat in clinic with her, thought, yeah, this is for me. There was definitely a gap in the service as well because there was no nurses, no clinical nurse specialists, no ACPs work within the service. And I did some research, found that it was a thing to be a vulval care specialist nurse. And I was thinking, how can I do this within the ACP role? But actually, we sat down with the consultant, we planned it. I did some online training courses with BSSVD and BDNG, found the vulval care competency framework, and we just put a plan together. So my consultant sort of trained me on the job over about 9 to 12 months before I set up clinics on my own. So I had a really good hands-on in-clinic training and I've never looked back. It's just been amazing, really. I just really, really, really enjoy it.
Well, that's fantastic. And you definitely have that passion about, you know, what you do. And you've really talked about some really valid points there. And I just want to sort of pick your brain on some of the sort of aspects that you said. I think you've been very lucky, Eva, in the fact that you feel you've sort of driven your passion for vulval care
forward yourself, which is fantastic. We need more people like you. It's linked to the gynae and the dermatology, which is great. Working in dermatology as well, because you know that vulval care and nurses that are trained is very minimal. You know, it tends to be, if you're lucky, have maybe a consultant or a GP that you work with that is interested in vulval, and that's how you train. You know, there's very limited sort of pathways in vulval care. So you mentioned, so you got a lot of support, and it sounds like you had a few months as well in the training. And you mentioned online also the BSSBD. Firstly, could you just broaden, you know, how your education kind of worked, and just for our listeners today, just explain what the BSSBD is, and just to explain a bit more about that, please.
So the BSSVD, the British Society for the Study of Vulval Disease, I think they're made up of members that are probably traditionally medical professionals. I think more and more nurses are joining, I believe. They run educational courses, fund research into vulval care, and they run an annual scientific meeting as well, which I sadly haven't managed to go to just because of family commitments this year, and it again wasn't possible last year, but I'm really hopeful to get there next year. And I'm really, I believe this year it was in May, and there was a speaker, a vulval care specialist nurse speaker. I think there was a lot of talk come out of that meeting around improving links between vulval nurse specialists. So I'm hoping to get more involved in that, definitely.
That's fantastic. And that's really positive. I mean, you know, since we've done our group as well, we've understood a bit more about the BSSVD. And thank you for explaining how it runs and works. And the fact is, you know, we have links with consultants now that are part of this group, and are realising, you know, that more nurses need education and are looking at sort of competencies and education for nurses, and to get more nurses on board. And like you say, you know, it's not all concentrated around specifics. You know, we have different nurses in different areas, so it's really important we kind of have these really strong links. And you mentioned as well, obviously, the BDNG, and we have competencies on the website for that, and we are trying to do some more work around vulval care as well. Could you maybe just talk us through maybe a typical week with yourself or a typical clinic? You know, how does a vulval clinics kind of run? And are you an autonomous sort of practitioner, or do you have support nearby from a GP or a consultant?
Yeah, sure. So my vulval clinics run all day on a Friday every other week. It's not the main part of my role. I would very much like it to be, but I do have responsibilities in other areas as well. So my vulval clinics are all day on a Friday. They do run alongside a consultant clinic. I am autonomous in my clinics. I have my own patient list. I have a referral and a waiting list for the clinics. And they generally run in the same way. So the first appointment of the morning or afternoon clinic will be a new patient referral. And I'm so lucky in that I get to spend a whole hour with that patient, which I realise is a luxury a lot of people wouldn't have. But I find that so valuable in giving that patient the time that they need. They've often waited a very long time to come to a clinic like ours. It's often over a year, sometimes a little longer. But so they get, with me at least, they get a full hour in that first appointment. As I said, it's just invaluable time, really. And then the next appointment, the next slots are usually follow-up patients. So the main conditions that I'll see within the clinic are lichen sclerosis, lichen planus, lichen simplex, eurexma type conditions, and then vulvodynia, chronic pain conditions as well. So each clinic can be quite varied, and I see them, take the history, do a full assessment, full examination, any biopsies if they're needed, treatment planning, education, try and give a holistic approach as well, really. So I have links with a pelvic floor, women's health specialist, physio, pain team. Yeah, lots of, and all, we also have a dermatology, joint vulval dermatology clinic as well. So we have a dermatologist come from a local, another local trust. So we have some real specialist input available to our patients.
Sounds like a really fantastic setup, Eva, that you have. And, you know, I'm sure you have lots of challenges with all the NHS, but, you know, I think, you know, having that different connections as well from, you know, different areas is so valuable. And, you know, you mentioned there about referring on, for example, pain team or, you know, the specialist help. Do you find that happens quite a lot, Eva? Do you find that you have to refer quite a lot of your patients to be onto the pain team or the specialities?
Don't tend to refer as many to the pain team. I think once they get to us and we have a stepwise approach to pain management and it's multifactorial, I think that there is a lot that we can do within our clinic and our scope, my scope of practice. So pain team referrals tend to be at the end of a process of working with someone who, you know, maybe things have just not worked out for. But definitely pelvic floor, physio, therapy team, I do a lot of referrals to them. I find that a really important part of the treatment planning because they offer such a different approach and it's a very practical approach as well, yeah. Whereas I'm offering emotional support, medication support, clinical assessment. I find that the physio team can really help with tension, pelvic floor tension, and identifying muscles and working with patients on pelvic floor exercises. And particularly that is not my area of expertise, so I, you know, link in with them and we give the patient then a more holistic sort of treatment plan.
Yeah, it sounds like your women are very well cared for and very holistic care, which is what we're, as nurses, that's just ideal, isn't it? And can understand how passionate you must be about, you know, seeing these patients because it must be so rewarding for you. You know, your patients must love you, definitely, definitely. You talked a little bit about treatment there, and obviously you don't have to go into all the treatments that you do because obviously we know it's vast, but is there any sort of specific treatments, just a quick run through, you know, for our dermatology listeners today?
So the most common condition is probably the lichen sclerosis, so we know that affects about 1 in 100 women, and not a single woman I ever give that stat to believes me. They can't believe that there's, you know, that many more women affected by it as well as them, because it's not something I think we really talk about. But the main symptom being the itching, it's just not something you really tell your friends or family about, intimate itching. So the main, so that will be the main condition that I see. And then the very typical treatments, it's a very standard treatment, is a potent topical steroid. And then a very greasy emollient, which takes some getting used to. But I try to give a very standardised treatment plan for lichen sclerosis using the evidence base, and the lichen sclerosis guide have recently come out with a treatment plan that it's on a PDF that I can print or I can get the patient to download and we can give them that together. So it's very clearly sets out when to use their topical steroids. So if they're newly diagnosed, we have a reducing regime, how to use it if they have a flare-up, and how to use it if their condition is stable. And it's very useful, very straightforward for that. And then the emollient is liberal and as often.
Absolutely.
emollient.
Yeah, we're very good at that. Well, some people are good at that as well. Mentioned there as well, obviously, about some guidelines and policies. Do you have anything specific you use for your clinics, or, you know, is it vast, or is it just, you know, sort of specifics that you would use?
We have our local hospital vulval care full condition policy guideline that I can refer to. And then I generally use the British Association of Dermatology guidelines. Their patient information leaflets are very good. As I said, more recently, the Lichen Sclerosis Guide website has got some amazing resources on and treatment planning. They would be the main ones.
So you mentioned that obviously the policies and some of the, you know, guidance that you use, the BAD does have some fantastic patient education as well. And it's so handy now with the QR codes that you don't even have to use all the paperwork. But the main sort of aspect, and I do find this with my patients I come across, is the psychological support that is needed and, you know, the mental health that goes along with vulval care. And it's something that some patients have never actually spoken about either. How do you kind of deal with that? And, you know, obviously it must be quite common in your clinic as well.
Yeah. So some of it is what we talk through in clinics, just one-on-one. Of, you know, the support that I can offer. And that's a thing that you can build up over time. You're always building that therapeutic relationship with your patient, and that becomes easier on subsequent visits. We also have, you're going to think we're really, really privileged now when I tell you this, but we also have in-house psychosexual counselling that we can access.
You got any nurses jobs up there? I think I'm coming down. I'm thinking I'm going to Manchester.
So we have two. We have a psychosexual counselling service, and then we also have an in-house sexual rehab clinic as well that we can link in with. And so some of our patients do come to both of them services. So that's, again, that's really useful, and I can see the work they've done in those clinics, and then we can link that back to what we're doing in our treatment goals within vulval care. So we really, really do try to offer a well-rounded, you know, treatment plan that addresses all the many needs that go along with vulval.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Fantastic service you lead in there. Absolutely. I mean, the women will be so grateful, you know, when they come into your clinic, even though I'm sure they've had a long waiting list. Yeah. The women themselves, do you have all age groups, or would you see a specific age group?
So we don't currently see children, although I think there is a separate service for children's gynecology conditions. But yeah, I'd see anybody from 18 and over. So it really does vary. We're seeing 90-year-olds that have been coming for many, many years, and then we see women at the start of their journey, women just after menopause, where they've symptoms have only just started. So yeah, whole lifespan, really. Oh,
right. Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah,
do you think when they come in, they must just be so relieved the fact they can speak to you about this, because, you know, general clinic, or I know patients have sometimes hidden it away from, you know, either the nurses or the consultants that they've seen in clinic, because they don't want to talk about it. So it must be a great service to have, that women can come in, feel comfortable with you, feel supported by you, and the fact they can talk about it.
I think having that space to be open and talk about it, and know they don't have to be embarrassed, and that I've heard it all before. And, you know, I start off by saying, tell me everything about this and how it's affecting you, because that's the way that I can learn how to help you best.
Yeah.
And then they often cry.
Oh.
So we have a little cry, there's tissues, because I think it's the relief that, oh, this time someone's going to listen to me. And that's really where I feel is the best moment of the job, really, when you know that you're going to make a difference to this person. And it won't be a difference in that one clinic appointment. It will take time, but I think being upfront about that as well is really important. Just saying, we're on the start of a journey together now, but we are going to work together.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, it's really great to have that partnership with patients, isn't it? And talking about clinics, do you routinely follow them up? Is it 6 months, 4 months? How does that work?
I really tailor that individually. So the newer the patient, probably the more often the follow-up. Usually not less than 3 months, depending on the treatment plan. There's a waiting list for some the other services that I've mentioned, the pain team, for example, or the physio. There'll be a waiting list. So then the follow-up will depend on me knowing when they've had input from the other teams, if that's required. But general would be like 6 months, and then an annual checkup for conditions like the lichen sclerosis and the lichen planus. When that's settled, then we offer an annual follow-up and full skin assessment. Vulvodynia patients, it's a little bit different, and we really tailor that individually.
Yeah, so it's very individualized as well, which is really positive as well. And obviously it is a huge workload. Do you have other nurses involved in this? Specific consultants, doctors that are involved with this?
So currently there's me as an ACP, and then there's two consultants that also run a clinic, generally on a Friday as well. So yeah, there's the three of us. We had a trainee doctor doing her sitem, so her specialist training within vulval care up until recently. We've also got two research nurses because we're involved in the PEARLS trial. I don't know if
Okay.
you've heard of that.
No. Explain a little bit about that.
So the PEARLS study is a multi-centre study that's looking into the maintenance treatment for lichen sclerosis at the minute. I
Fabulous.
believe the main hub is running from Nottingham, University of Nottingham. And they've recruited, as I say, multi-centre across England, at least if not the UK. And they're looking at, it's a blinded trial, so there's two arms looking at maintenance steroid, so twice weekly application of topical steroid versus as required for flare-ups. And the patients get followed up if they agree to the trial at 6 months, 12 months, 24 months. So I think we're just about getting to the 24-month mark of some of our patients now. I'm one of the blinded assessors for the trial, so I don't do the initial consultation, but I tend to do the blinded assessment at their 12-month and 24-month check-ins. So yeah, we have a couple of research nurses that are coordinating that trial.
That's great. Research there as well, because treatments are always advancing, and it's great to be, included in your four pillars as well. But, it's great for your education and having that sort of four pillars incorporated in your care. And talking about you, because we've focused a lot on the patient care, we've talked a lot about the clinics and the fantastic service you do run, and also the holistic treatment that these patients receive from you is phenomenal. So well done on that. But where do you get your support from? Who do you reach out to? And do you have any specific education or groups you're involved with?
So I work really closely with my lead consultant, who is fantastic, very supportive. And I have a really great line manager as well. He's very supportive. I've recently just had my appraisal, and I've gone through all my plans for the vulval service and plans over the next year, things I want to, improve the service. And I've got really good support there. And then I've recently, which is very exciting, just joined the special interest group with the BDNG. So I'm hoping that's going to give me links with other nurses that work in the same field, because as I say, at the minute, there is just me. There is no other nurses within vulval care in my trust.
Yeah.
So seeing what other people are doing in other areas, and yeah, I think that's going to be really great. Give me lots of more ideas to take things
Yeah.
further.
Yeah, it's been really positive. I mean, we've just started this group, and if anyone out there is interested in joining, just drop me a line. But It's been so, it's taken off at 100 miles an hour, this little group, and you know, the people involved are very driven, very dynamic. So it's a great group to be in, and I've really benefited from it as well. And you know, the fact is that, you know, what is going on in up and down the country, really. And it's not all based in dermatology, which is really positive because, you know, we know it incorporates many specialties as well. So yeah, if any of our listeners are wanting to be involved in the vulval specialist interest, just drop me an email. Tina McKenzie would be very pleased to hear from you. Because as I say, we have a fantastic group. So Eva, I'm so delighted to speak to you today. It's absolutely fantastic to get an insight in what you do, you know, with your background in midwifery and obviously gynecology as well. It's a different speciality from dermatology, but so linked. And as you say, it's great that you have had that specialist interest in dermatology as well for our patients out there. Service you run sounds phenomenal, and you know, I'm sure a lot of our listeners will be very jealous as well of the support networks that you have in Manchester. And briefly on that note, I mean, Manchester is obviously a big hospital. Is it more a tertiary centre that you run? Do you get patients from here in Manchester?
Yeah, it's a large tertiary centre, so we do get referrals out of area.
Yeah. So you must be, your waiting list must be quite definitely.
Yeah, it's long. We try and make it worth the while when they do get to us, but yeah, as with any NHS trust, there's challenges, and I'm not saying it's perfect because there's always room for improvement, but yeah, I think we've got a really good, passionate team, and we definitely try our best.
You definitely do. I can definitely say that. And well done to you and your team for running such a superb service. As I say, it's been great to listen to you today, and you know, really, you know, the knowledge that you've shared today is fantastic for our listeners out there. Is there any sort of key aspects, Eva, you would like to sort of say to our listeners before we close this podcast today?
I feel like this is a really exciting time in vulval care. I think we're seeing more research, we're seeing more funding, we're seeing a growing body of, enthusiastic, passionate, committed nurses to go alongside the consultants that have been working in this field for, many years as well. And hoping those two worlds will join and we can just, really get the message out there and improve things for women, because I think it's a hidden, a lot of these conditions are just hidden. Women just live with this, just put up with it for years and years before they come and get help, or they think it's thrush or an infection and they're embarrassed. So the more knowledge, the more education we can get out there, the more awareness we can bring to vulval health, the better.
Wonderful. A great message to end this podcast today. And as I say, with VDNG, we are trying to push this forward with the help of people like Eva. So thanks again, Eva. It's been fantastic listening to you today. And thank you for sharing all that information.
Oh,
Thank you.
thank you for having me. It's been lovely to chat to
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. For further information on the BDNG, visit our website, bdng.org.uk, and watch out for the next BDNG podcast, which is coming soon.